Well, today we commemorate the dedication of the Basilica of St. John Lateran in Rome. And at first glance, it may seem like a strange celebration for the Universal Church, but there's very important reason why we do celebrate it with such solemnity. If you visit the Basilica, as you approach it, you see an inscription across the front that reads, "The Sacred Mother and Head of all the churches of the city and of the world." Now that's a rather bold claim, but it explains why we celebrate this feast universally, because it is just that. The Church of St. John Lateran in Rome is the mother church and the head of all the churches in the city and in the world. And in a real sense, St. John Lateran has been teaching us as Catholics what it means to be church for 1,700 years. And there's three little lessons we could say about today's solemnity. The first is that we learn from the Basilica of St. John. What we learn from it is taught by its very size. When Constantine, who was the Roman emperor, when he legalized Christianity in 312, the year 312, he made it possible for Christians to worship publicly for the first time. That was kind of monumental in the history of the church. And the basilica today is the same size as the one Constantine built in the 4th century. It can accommodate up to 5,000 people. It's a lot. That's a big church. And it's a very large building, especially for a building made 1,700 years ago, because temples in the ancient world were typically small. Worship was not participatory. Only the priest entered the sanctuary to offer the sacrifice while the people stood outside. And so when Constantine asked Pope Sylvester how big a church did he want, the Pope said, "How big can you build it?" And the idea that people would participate in worship was something new. St. John Lateran was the first place built for public Christian worship in Rome. And it's not just the Cathedral of Rome, it sets the standard for all Christian temples, churches, worship places. And the building itself teaches us that Mass is never something that we watch like spectators, but rather something in which we participate. No one can do our prayers for us. And that's why Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple. He wanted a new temple where God's presence dwelt in those assembled, the members of his body raised up. And when we come to Mass, do we just watch the priest? Or are we transformed with him as he leads us in prayer and deeper communion with God? If our first words after Mass are criticisms rather than thanksgiving, that's a clue that we've become observers rather than participants. But if we are participants, then every reading of Scripture will speak to our hearts. And every Eucharist will be a life-changing encounter with Christ himself. Now, the second lesson comes from the baptistry of St. John Lateran. You know, we still have our baptistry over there. It used to be behind that wooden panel, and you entered from outside there. But the baptistry for St. John Lateran is a separate building next to the basilica, and it's adorned with red stone columns taken from pagan imperial monuments of Rome. And they could have used new materials, but they chose these for a reason. And the reason is, in baptism, what happens? The secular becomes sacred. The profane is incorporated into the body of Christ. And so these columns once adorned pagan monuments and symbolized forces of sin and death, but through baptism they become part of the church. And that's the power of baptism. It changes people and makes them new in Christ. Now, the church has always been a community of sinners seeking God's grace, and we always will be. But the baptistry reminds us that no sin is greater than God's mercy. The waters of baptism and the grace of reconciliation continue to transform the secular into the sacred. And if those red stone pillars once served murderous emperors and now welcome Christians into baptism, well, there's hope for us all, isn't there? Because the church is where we trust and celebrate God's all-powerful, unbounded, transforming mercy. And the final lesson is a short one. It comes from the bronze pillars near the altar of repose for the Blessed Sacrament. And these tall gilded pillars were given by Constantine, and they have a rich history in themselves. In the year 44 BC, Augustus became heir to Julius Caesar. And after defeating Mark Antony and Cleopatra's navy, Augustus confiscated their ships and removed the bronze from them, and melted it all down, and formed four pillars placed in the Temple of Jupiter. And these pillars symbolized a new era, the birth of the Roman Empire. Well, Constantine gave these pillars to St. John Lateran to make a similar statement, not for Rome, but for the church. A new day has dawned, a new era has begun. Christianity is no longer a private experience. It's a public witness and transforms society and culture. This is one of the key teachings of the Second Vatican Council. These pillars remind us to be courageous and prophetic in our faith, to be publicly vocal. The church still has a necessary voice in world affairs, but we must remember this today more than ever, lest those bronze columns become just artifacts of the past. And so today, November 9th, we don't just celebrate the dedication of a church. We celebrate the dedication of a church that continues to teach us how to be a church.